Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned in to our Planted, Not Buried series. Today's message will help you see that God is with us even when it doesn't seem like it. From wherever you're listening, we hope that you are encouraged by this week's message.
Well, how's everybody doing? Man, you look good. You can go ahead and grab a seat. I'm so excited and glad that you're here. It means a lot that you would be here. And I can't start without taking a moment to honor Pastor Mike. And I'm not going to go into a whole thing because I will end up crying. But a year ago, geez, I'm already crying. It's been a year. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for taking care of me, for praying for me, for letting me come to your house at midnight to talk through crazy things. That's all I'm going to say. I love you. Okay. Woo! But I really love this house. I love what God's doing here. And I'm really excited about what he's doing in this time in our church. And the fact that we get to be a part of it. Like that's something special. Like, there are a lot of people who would love to be where we are right now. And for some reason, God saw that we weren't perfect, that we didn't have it all together. But he said, there are some people that I can trust and I can move in them and they'll be able to steward over it well. And so I'm excited to be here. Like you said, I'm the creative pastor. That's why I'm wearing the leopard print shirt that came with the job. But I get to oversee our creative department and I absolutely love what I get to do. I'm married to the most beautiful girl in the world, Abby Rose Metcalf. And people ask us all the time, do we have kids? And I always tell them, no, but we're practicing. But I'm here to report to you that practice makes perfect, because in March, we have a baby. I'm so excited. I've wanted to be a dad since I was like born. I'll probably, you come find me in March and see how that's going. But I'm so, so excited. So yeah, I got to move on. This is going to be the cutest light-skinned baby you've ever seen in your life. Woo, Jesus. All right, we're going to get started. So we're in a series called Planted, Not Buried. And in this series, we're talking about what to do when you're under. Like, that's kind of a tagline for the series if you haven't been with us. And what we found out is a lot of people are under. They're under pressure. They feel underqualified. They're under fire. They feel undervalued. And we need to learn, what can we do when we're in a season where we're under? And our anchor scripture for this series has been Psalms 1:3. And it says this. It says, they are like trees planted. Everybody say planted. Planted about the riverbank, bearing fruit in every season. Their wheat leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Now, you read that scripture, and that's like, ooh, I want that. Like, that is good. And that's what God wants for us. But what we have to realize is trees don't just magically appear. All trees start as a seed. And for a seed to become a tree, it has to be planted, or it has to be under. And many of us, it's hard for us to understand this, because we find ourselves in a season where we feel like we're under, where people don't see us. Maybe we're not where we thought we would be, or maybe things aren't going how we thought they would go. And if we don't understand that under doesn't mean over, we start having funerals for things that were never dead. Like if we don't understand that God planted us and we're not buried, then we have funerals for our marriages. We have funerals for our dreams. We have funerals for things where God said, hey, you're not dead. I'm just developing you. It's not over. I'm just doing something that everybody can't see, that everybody can't be a part of. But I want to do something in you so that when you sprout, when you come up, people see, wow, how did that happen? And the only answer could be God. Under does not mean, somebody say that, say under doesn't mean over. So we have to let this sink into who we are, into our spirits, because if not, we start getting frustrated with the season that we are in. In Philippians 1:6, it says this. It says, and I'm sure he who began a good work in you will be faithful to see it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Now, this is so important because it says, he who began a good work in you. Now, that's a caveat because you can't start random stuff and then put God on it and be frustrated when he doesn't. It says, if he began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it. And what I know is God, he's working in all the details. The seasons where you feel like you're under, where people don't see your gifts, the season where you feel like you're under pressure and you don't know how to get God, God is working in all of those areas. Today, I want to look at a piece of scripture as we continue this series. I believe we're in week 7. Have y'all enjoyed this series? Yeah. It's been good. We're gonna continue in this series. And if you're with me, you can turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. We'll have it up on the screen. But in Mark chapter 5, I want to look at a story of two people. And I really believe this is going to help us as we learn what to do when we are under. So we're going to read a good chunk of scripture, but there's a lot of power in there. And so it's Mark 5, 22. And we'll get started. It says this. It says, then a leader of the local synagogue named Jairus arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently, my little daughter is dying. Please come lay your hands on her. So he's Pentecostal. He wants to lay his hands on her. He says, heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him and the people followed, and there's a crowd. And it says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had. In fact, she got worse. She had heard about Jesus, and when she came behind him, she touched his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. She could feel in her body that she had been healed from her condition. Jesus, at once, that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Now, you picture this. Jesus is in a big crowd. People are pushing around me, and he says, someone touched me. Like someone touched me in a different way that all these other people are just rubbing up against me. Someone touched me with some faith. It says, but he kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened, she came up to Jesus. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your suffering is over. While he was still speaking, messengers from the house of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, they told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard. He said to them, don't be afraid, just have faith. Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let them go forward. Verse 38, it says, when they came to the home of Jairus, Jesus saw commotion and weeping, and he asked, why all this commotion? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. Now, this isn't even my message, but I can't go past that without preaching it. I'm just going to give you something for your Monday. Write down my blank isn't dead, it's only asleep. Like your dream is not dead, it's only asleep. Your marriage isn't dead, it's only asleep. And if you could just give some faith in the room, I promise you, God will work that thing out. All right, we're going to keep going. It's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and three disciples into the room. Holding her hand, he said, Talith kahum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. The title of my message today, if you're taking notes, write this down, is Planted and I Underestimated. Planted and I Underestimated. Can we take a moment and just pray that God would join us? Lord, we thank you that your word is alive. Lord, it's a book that, Lord, when we read it, it reads us. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we would see you and experience you in this service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when me and Abby found out we were having a baby, obviously we were so excited and just so pumped. And we found out, actually, the day we moved in from a 2-bedroom house into a 700-square-foot apartment. We were in a 2-bedroom house, and we think, we're not going to have kids for a while. We're going to go live downtown. The only time we can do this. The day we get the last box moved in, she's like, hey. It's like, okay. Well, So in that, when we moved in, the apartment kind of had this weird smell, and it wasn't a big deal. But then Abby started dealing with morning sickness, and she calls it all-day sickness. She said whoever made that up was not a guy because it's all day. But this smell, it's become so much. It's literally, we walk in the building, and she's like, and starts running. And so part of morning sickness and dealing with the pregnancy, in all of that, there's hope because we know at the end of 9 months, like, we're going to have our baby. And so with the morning sickness, with the frustration, with all the stuff we're trying to figure out, we know that, okay, there's light at the end of this tunnel. Like, it's going to be okay in 9 months. I want you to imagine with me if we thought having a baby took 4 months. Like, what if we thought, we found out we're having a baby, and we thought, oh, yeah, this only takes 4 months. This is going to be good. So we'll start getting stuff ready. She's dealing with morning sickness, but we're like, you know what? We only got 3 more months to go, only 2 more months to go. And we're counting down the days, and we hit 4 months, and we go to our doctor's appointment, and we say, we're ready to have this baby. And they're like, what? Like, you have quite a ways to go. Not only is it quite a ways, you have double the amount that you thought you had. How frustrated would we be that we drastically underestimated the season that we were in? Like, the plans that we made, everything that we did would be really frustrating because it was not time for our promise to come to pass. Here's what I want to ask you today. Could some of the frustration you're feeling be perhaps that maybe you underestimated how long you would be under? Like, am I the only one who my obedience to God was sometimes conditional and had a time restraint and was like, God, I'm going to get planted and I know I'm going to be under. But in about 6 months, I'm going to need you to go ahead and start working because some of us, we've been under for a while. Like, it's been a while since you, and you're like, okay, God, like, I'm starting to realize that this is maybe I underestimated this. Maybe I underestimated the cost of a healthy marriage. Maybe I underestimated the cost of living in purity. Maybe I underestimated it because I thought by now I would be past this. I thought by now that it would work out. And how do we handle life when we drastically underestimate the season that we're in? I really believe that there's some insight in this story of how we can move past and work in when we're in a season where we're still under, where God says, hey, there's a little bit more time. It's not time for you to come out yet. It's not time for everybody to see what you've got yet. I believe in this story there are some secrets. And it comes from two characters in our story. The first one is Jairus. Now, Jairus is a leader of a local synagogue. He's a local pastor. He's well-known. And regardless of how well-known and dignified he may be, life has brought him to a place where he's falling on his knees in front of Jesus. Which is a side note that you just need to know, regardless of how much money you have in the bank, regardless of what everybody thinks about you, life will bring you to a place where you realize that it doesn't matter what I look like, it doesn't matter what you think about me, but I need to meet Jesus. Jairus comes to a place where he says, Jesus, my daughter is dying. I mean, he's in a panic. He doesn't understand. He's frustrated. So he runs up to Jesus, falls on his feet, and says, my daughter is dying. And Jesus says, okay, I'm coming your way. So Jesus is on his way to heal his daughter, and then there's an interruption. There's an interruption in the form of a woman. Now, we don't get this woman's name. It says she's been suffering with this issue for 12 years, an issue of bleeding, and we don't get her name, but what we do see is that her struggle has become her identity. Like, the name of this woman is the woman with the issue of blood. And many times, a lot of us, we see people who've been struggling for a certain amount of time, and we don't even call them by their name anymore. We just said, oh, you know them. That's that person that's a little wild. You know, that's that person that lies. Oh, you know what happened to them. Her struggle has now become her identity. Wow. And she's pushed to a point. She says she spent all she had. She spent all her money. And she, in fact, didn't get better. She got worse. Wow. And she gets to a point where she says, you know what? I've tried everything else. I can't do this anymore. I've heard about this person named Jesus. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. So she pushes through the crowd. I mean, get this picture. Jesus is on his way. There's a crowd around him, and she's pushing through the crowd. She touches the hem of the garment, and in a moment, Jesus stops. Now, in that moment, this is so powerful because it says the moment she touched his garment, she was healed. And some of you, you just need to know that the moment you reach out, like the moment you stop trying to do it by yourself, the moment you stop trying to talk to other people about what God's doing, if you will reach out and touch him, in a moment, you will be healed. I want to look at this story, and I want to look at it from a little bit different of a perspective. And I don't paint the picture. So we have Jesus is walking, and he's walking with Jairus. Jairus says, hey, I need you to heal my daughter. So let's picture they're walking this way. Jesus and Jairus, they're walking, they're going. Now it says the woman walked up from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Now this is so powerful, but in the scripture it says Jesus realized that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around. So Jesus is here, Jairus is here, they're on their way, but the lady touches him and he turns around. Now this is really powerful if you're the woman. Because Jesus stopped in his moment and stopped everything to heal you. But I want to ask the question, what happens when you're Jairus? Like, in order for Jesus to turn to the woman, he had to turn his back to Jairus. What happens when Jesus was on his way to help you? He was on his way to solve your problem, and it feels like he turned around to help somebody else. I mean, am I the only person that's felt like that sometimes? That maybe Jesus said, hey, I'm with you to come do that. And I'm walking and I stop and I think, Jesus, what are you doing? You talking to her? She always been like that. Like, she been like that, Jesus. How do you, like if I'm Jairus, I am upset. Like if Jesus stopped to help her, and how many times do we do that? You stopped to help them? Like you said my marriage would be whole, but them, like you gave them a kid? Like I've been served, you blessed them with finances? You did that? Jairus is sitting in a place that a lot of us have seat in. There are times where we feel like we're under, and we underestimated how long it would take Jesus to get to the place that we wanted to be. We think, okay, God, like you need to hurry up. Every second he spends with this woman, his daughter is dying. It literally, the fact that he stops costs his daughter her life. Wow. How do you deal when you underestimated your season? When you feel like God stopped and he's helping, and when you drastically underestimated how long it would take? I want you to write this first point down. If you underestimated, remember when Jesus turned to you. Here's the first thing you need to know. At different points in your life, you will be on different sides of Jesus. There's a time when you're Jairus and you feel like God was on his way to help you and he turned around to help someone else. But please let us not get so saved that we forget that at one moment you were the person standing here and God stopped everything and he turned around to you. He saw you in your hurt. We cannot get so in our little Christian club that we forget that one time Jesus stopped and he saw you. We weren't always this put together. You didn't always have that money. You didn't always have that job. Your eyebrows weren't always that good. You have to remember that there was a moment where Jesus saw you. If you don't, you start to get frustrated and you become bitter at other people's blessings. How many people in the church can't even enjoy what they have because they're looking at what someone else has? Some of you need to take a moment. Jairus, his daughter was sick, but a lot of people don't have daughters that can get sick. So sometimes we need to stop and for a moment say, you know what? It may feel like there's a delay or that I underestimated, but let me thank God for what I do have. Let me thank God for the marriage that I... Oh, come on, y'all. You got to... You may not be where you want to be, but you're definitely not where you should be. God will see you in different moments. And if you don't understand that, you'll become frustrated and you'll become bitter. You'll become bitter of people who are getting healed through the amazing power of Jesus. You'll become bitter at people who are getting blessed. You'll be because you think, oh, well, I wanted that. Jesus said he was helping me. But you got to do something too. This is my second point that Jairus did. You got to stay in the delay. Now, this is why you have to read your Bible so, so clearly. Look at what the scripture says right here. It says in Mark 5:35, it says, while he was still speaking, messengers arrived from Jairus' home. They told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. Look at this key. It says, but Jesus overheard them. So for Jesus to overhear Jairus, that means Jairus couldn't have walked off. He was at least somewhat close to Jesus so he could hear when his issues were going on. Don't walk away when you feel like there's a delay in what God's doing in your life. How easy would it have been for him to think, you know what, okay, Jesus was on his way. He stops. They come up and tell him, hey, your daughter's dead. How easy would it have been for him just to walk away? To think, oh, okay, yeah, I guess it's over. How often do we walk away when it didn't happen like that? When God said, you know what, your marriage is gonna be whole, I know it's hard right now, and people start telling you, yeah, it's just, I don't think it's gonna work. And we just walk away. We think, well, I guess God doesn't see me anymore. I guess he doesn't see this dream. I guess God, you know, like, I guess it's dead. There's no use asking God to help me with this business plan anymore because I've presented it 6 times and everybody said no. So I guess it's just time to walk away. I guess it's time to stop trying to love and serve my spouse because, you know, they just went and they did that. And so I guess it's just time to walk away. I believe that God is giving us a supernatural grace to stay even though there's a delay. Because what happens is when you learn to stay in the delay, your faith is being developed. The longer he stands there, the more faith it takes to believe that God can bring your daughter back to life. There are some of you that need to settle in your spirit that regardless of what happens, regardless of what people say, regardless of who comes up to me and tell me that my dreams are dead, I'm gonna stay close to Jesus. Jairus stayed close to Jesus. And some of you say, you know what? I know I've been struggling with this for 6 years, but God said by his stripes, I was healed. So I'm gonna stay right here. I know that this marriage has been hard, but I'm not going anywhere. I know that this business isn't working out, but I'm gonna stay right here. I know that I'm supposed to be married and I'm 32 and single, but I'm gonna keep these eyebrows on fleek and I'm gonna stay pure and I'm gonna be here when God says hello. You got to learn to stay. So many people are just walking off at 2 seconds when God doesn't help them. And he's trying to do something. He's trying to develop you. You got to learn it takes time. And we don't like that because you can microwave your food in 30 seconds. Because if you're insecure, you can post a picture and people will like you. But maybe God is trying to develop something in you that's greater than likes, that's greater than people who have good advice for you that are successful. Maybe he's trying to do something that only he can get credit for. We have to stay in the delay. You got to remember when God turned to you, you got to stay in the delay. And we're going to move on to my next point. In Mark, we're going to kind of track through this story. So in Mark 38, we'll just keep moving along. It says, then they came to the home of the leader of the synagogue, and there was much commotion and weeping, and God says, listen, the child isn't dead, it's only asleep. I want you to look at verse 40, Mark 5, verse 40. It says, the crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. Now, this is interesting, because it tells me that there are certain people that God won't do miracles around. He said that they were in the room and they walked in and he said, all of y'all gotta go. Yes. I want to present to you today and ask you my third point, evaluate your members and your messengers. If you look at the story, if we back up a little bit earlier, you can see the faith that Jairus had surrounded himself with. The messenger comes up to him and says, hey, listen, she's dead. No use bothering him right now. He gets to his house. Jesus says, hey, I'm about to bring this thing back to life. And they all start laughing. There are some people in your life that cannot go with you to the miracle that God wants to do in you. Now, this is so important you understand this, because if not, you surround yourself with people that don't have faith for where you're going. Jesus literally had to get some things out before something could get up. And there are some things in your life that God will ask you to get rid of, to get beside you, to get out of the room, because he cannot move with that faith in the room. Listen, he literally said, you have to get out. I want to ask you this question. Who are your messengers? The messenger came up and said, hey, your dream's already dead. Who are the people giving you messages? Is it successful people? People who have the corner office, people who have done it right, but you realize that they don't have integrity, but for some reason, they're the ones coming up and giving you messages, telling you what to do and what not to do, telling you when to go to God and not to go to God, telling you when to walk away from God or when to stay with God. Who's your messenger? Are your feelings your messenger? Because it's great, like, they're really good for crying during sad movies, but it's a terrible way to live your life for advice. Your feelings, they can't be telling you what to do. They can't be telling you when to stay faithful. There are a lot of times you may not feel like doing what you're supposed to do. Who are your messengers? Because you have to stop and look at who is with me right now, but who is going to help me get to where God has called me to be? I literally did this back in August. I did this in my own life. I literally took every friendship that I had, besides my wife, my family, and a couple people that I knew, like, I literally took them all, and I sat them down, and I said, God, I'm only picking up the ones you tell me to pick up. Because what God is doing, now that not even in a church, like, I'm going to be a dad. I need some people that can help me figure this out, and I can't be playing 2K with you on Friday. I need, like, to be reading some books or something. Like, I don't. You have to look at your friendships. Who are people? Some people, you're like, we all just, it's so crazy. We all deal with the same stuff. Yeah, you do. My granny used to always say, if you hang with 9 broke friends, you're bound to be the 10th one. Like, it's just a matter of fact. You have to evaluate who you're with. There's some people, you know, I know we're in each other's wedding, and I know it was great, but listen, you're negative, and I just can't stay right here. Like, I know we've been family friends and it's awesome, but you just in the same stuff you was dealing with last year. So I gotta get somebody who can put some faith around, I mean, push me to where I need to go. You have to evaluate your messengers and your members. And here's what you need to realize too. The people who were laughing at Jairus when Jesus said his daughter wasn't dead weren't there when Jesus said he was coming. So don't let people who weren't there or don't have your best interest in mind or aren't hearing the voice of God tell you what God said he was gonna do in your life. You gotta evaluate them. We're gonna keep reading in this scripture. So we just read verse 40, verse 41, it says this. It says, holding her hand, he said to her, Talith Kahum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Now, on the surface, this story is over. In the sense of, Jairus' daughter was sick, Jesus was on his way, and Jesus stops, he heals the woman with the issue of blood, then he keeps going to Jairus' house and he heals the little girl, and she gets up. It says, everyone was amazed. But I want to read this. This is so important that when you read the Bible, you don't just read it for words, but you read it for, is God speaking in this? Hint, hint, he is. So, verse 42, let's read it again. And the girl who was 12 years old. Wait. There's a reason you read the whole story, not just little scriptures. Let's back up a little bit. When we started off, verse 22, then the leader of a local synagogue came up to Jairus and he said, my little girl is dying. He says, please come lay hands on her. Then verse 25, a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years wait a second. So this can't be random. I mean, the fact that the very same year her problem started, there was a pathway that was born that would only be possible if this little girl was born. So the moment, I mean, track with me, put it on a timeline. She gets diagnosed, the little girl is born. And every year, they're tracking together. They don't know it, but they're tracking together. God saw it in the future. Here's what you need to know. If listen to this. If the girl is never born, then she never gets sick. If the girl never gets sick, then her father never has to go to Jesus. If he never goes to Jesus, Jesus is never on his way passing by the lady. If Jesus is never on his way passing by the lady, oh my goodness. If he's never on his way, he never stops. If Jesus never stops, then Jairus's daughter never dies. If his daughter never dies, then he never has to have the faith to believe that she could bring it to life. But then if she never dies, Jesus never gets to heal her. What I'm saying, while you've been waiting, God's been working. Listen. I know. You've been under for a while. I know you underestimated how long it would take. I know you thought by now you would be past it. I know you thought your marriage would be better. But don't forget that God's been working in every single detail. There are some things that he's working out that you can't even see right now. And some years back, you'll be able to look back and think, wow, it's crazy how right when they got out of my life and I started getting in the Word of God, that something just started happening. And I just started developing and God started working in me. Do not get stuck in how long it's taking. Because it's a lot bigger than the moment you're in right now. Literally, the divine, I mean, you need to go back and read the story and just think about all the possibilities that had to happen for Jesus to be passing by to meet the woman. Then the girl dies. Jesus had a plan from the beginning. What am I saying to you? Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time. See, the thing is, proper time and our time are not the same. Your timing and God's timing are not the same. But trust me, you don't want your timing. You want God's timing. God is worth. There are so many things in your life, I promise you, if you would just learn to stay. If you would just learn to say, I'm in a season where I underestimated how hard this marriage would be. Don't deny, like, the reality, it's tough. But could it be that God's working some things out? Like, I underestimated how long it would take to get this business off the ground. I did. I underestimated it. But could it be that God has a plan that he's orchestrating that is so much bigger than the nice little business plan you put together that you'll be able to look back one day and think, wow, look what God did. Here's what you need to know. My last point. If God started it, God will finish it. Point blank. If God started it, God will finish it. Listen, I want you to leave today and walk forward being encouraged, knowing that you're not by yourself, that God hasn't forgotten about you, that your season isn't in vain, but God is working. And if he started it, he's going to finish it. Literally, I think back in this weekend, and the fact that I'm speaking on this weekend is very, very significant. So we were sitting down in a meeting, me and Pastor Michael, and we were talking about sermon series and what was going on. He's like, hey, I want you to preach the weekend of the 23rd of September. And I stopped and thought, and today's the 23rd, tomorrow will be September 24th, 2018. And September 24th, 2017, I was standing on a stage preaching. And I was telling about 200 people that the church we started was no longer going to happen. Literally, tomorrow will be exactly 12 months where I stood on a stage and was questioning, did I hear God? Like, I know this is what he called me to do, but it seems confusing to start this, to have people move, to raise money, to sign a lease on a building, and then be like, God told me to shut it down and go serve at TC. And I remember standing on that stage, and little did I know that 12 months later, there was something that got, when we came to TC, it was hard. Like, I'm not going to like to say, like, oh, shut that down. Don't even think about it ever again. It was pretty easy. Like, there were days where I was like, babe, what did we do? Like, I don't know. I had been to Transformation Church one time. Wow. One time. And was like, okay. I mean, me and Pastor Micah had conversations and talk, but I had actually been in this building one time. And it was like, I know this is what God's calling. But there were, it was hard to walk that out, to show up every, to be in a season where it's like, I'm just here to serve and I'm not getting paid and I'm not. And it wasn't about like, oh, we're going to wait to pay. God was doing something. He said, will you work just as hard without a paycheck as you would if you were getting a paycheck? What am I saying? I didn't know what God was doing at the time. Like, I didn't realize that there were some things that God had to develop in me that now God could ask me to move to Alaska and I would pick up all my stuff and go, because it's not about this moment, but it's about obeying God. What I want to encourage you today is God is working in your details. He's working in your marriage. He's working in your family. And if you will just get close to him and listen to his word and listen to what he's saying, it will always be worth it. It'll always be worth it. I didn't know that a year ago I would be saying, hey, this is dying. But exactly a year later to the date, I'll be saying, hey, my marriage is better. My life is stronger. I'm closer to God. And we're having a baby. So look at God. My encouragement to you is don't grow weary. Don't be upset because you feel like, man, I thought I would be past this by now. I thought I didn't know it would be this hard. I underestimated what would happen. I underestimated this season. God, one, he's with you. And he's working. God's with you and he's working. He's in every moment. The Bible says he enjoys and is intimately involved in the details of your life. He sees every detail. He sees every moment. He sees every decision. But don't grow weary. Stay close to, first of all, remember that he turned to you. Remember the moments, and remember there will be moments where you'll still be the person. You can be on this side of Jesus, and there will be times where you're on this side. Remember that he turned. Stay close to him. Don't walk away because it's not as going as fast as you thought it was. Don't walk away. You need to evaluate who you surround yourself with. Look and see who are people that literally this week you need to go and think, okay, God, you tell me which relationships I'm supposed to have. You can't just have random friendships that aren't pushing me to my purpose. Realize that while you've been waiting, while you've been in this under season, while you've been covered where it feels like you may be buried, you're not buried, you are planted. And under does not mean over. And remember that if God started it, he's going to finish it. Every single thing that he has given you, every single promise, every single word, every single thing over your family, every single thing over your mental health, every single healing he's promised you, every single thing he set in your life, he will finish it. Lord God, I thank you right now. Lord, I thank you so much for the people in this room. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord God, that there is a grace that you are giving to every single person in this room. That regardless of if they've underestimated their season, if they've underestimated the difficulty, the adversity, the whatever it is right now, Lord, there is a grace that you are putting over their life to stay when it's taking longer than they thought it would, Lord God, to move forward, to be encouraged in a season where it feels like the under. Lord, I thank you so, so much. With every head bowed, every eye closed, there are some of you in this room that you need, something needs to be different. Like you need a moment where you encounter God and you say, you know what? In this moment, I'm gonna be anchored. I'm not gonna sway back and forth. I'm not gonna sway by different messengers or what other people are saying. I know what God said to me and I'm gonna stay anchored in this season. If there are some of you in this room that you say, you know what? I underestimated this season, but I'm believing God that he's gonna anchor me, that he's gonna develop me, that I am planted and I'm not buried, that under doesn't mean over. If that's you right now, I just wanna say a prayer over you. Lift your hands around this room. So many hands. Lord God, I thank you for the faith of those who just lifted their hands right now, Lord God, that literally, Lord, you are working in them, Lord God, and there is a divine enablement. That's not because of everything they've done. It's not because they're good people. It's not because they come to church. It's because of who you are, Lord God. I thank you for a grace over their life that's not like anything else. I thank you, Lord, that you are giving them the strength and the grace to know that under doesn't mean over. To know that even if they underestimated their season, that you are working while we are waiting. So with every head still bowed, you can put your hands down. There's another group of people in this room. There's a group of people in here who you relate more to the woman. Meaning you've tried a lot of things. You've looked to a lot of things. And if you were honest with yourself, you haven't gotten better, but you've actually gotten worse. You feel like there's an emptiness on the inside of you. You feel like there's nothing's working. Can I tell you, there's only one answer, and it's Jesus. And it may take some things where you feel like you're having to push through a crowd, but the moment you come in touch with Jesus, everything will be different. The Bible says she felt in her body that she had been healed. I promise you, there are some of you in this room that you're here today to accept Jesus into your life. You're here today to begin a relationship with him. And the moment you step out, the moment you reach out, your life will be changed. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to get it all together. You don't have to be perfect. All you got to do is reach out. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you if you say, you know what, I want to do that. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to stop doing it by myself. I want a relationship with him. On the count of three, if you say, you know what, that's me. I want to make that decision. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. I believe when you lift your hand, it solidifies something that's happening in your heart. One, he loves you. Two, he is proud of you. Three, lift your hand right now all across this room. I see you in the middle. I got you right here. I'm so proud of you. I see you. I'm so, so proud of you. I got you in the back. So amazing. I see you, girl. He's proud of you. He loves you. Listen, let's all pray this prayer together as a family. Everyone say this, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for laying down your life to save mine. I admit I've made mistakes. Save me. Change me. Transform me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Transformation Church, can we make some noise?
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.